Good morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we will discuss conflict and how it can be resolved successfully without violence. I'm Michelle Lassane for George Mason University. We live in a world of conflict. We see it on the 7 o'clock news and we experience it on our jobs, in our homes, and in ourselves. It is almost impossible to escape and it is almost always accompanied by violence. The concept of conflict resolution has been around for some time. It has only recently, however, evolved as a discipline. With me today to discuss this subject are Dr. Bryant Wedge, Director of the George Mason University Center for Conflict Resolution, and Henry Barringer, Assistant Director of the Center for Conflict Resolution. Let's start with a definition for conflict. Dr. Wedge, what is conflict?
Well, conflict, most simply, is a condition in which two or more parties, whether they be persons or groups or states, perceive themselves as being in competition for resources. Furthermore, they perceive the success of one to mean the defeat of the other, so that they enter into stages of interaction designed to hurt, harm, restrain, or otherwise take away from the other a resource that they want for themselves.
Does it always involve violence?
A conflict is normal, it's inevitable, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere, and most often does not involve violence. Conflict is handled in the courts by nonviolent methods most of the time when lawyers argue or in the political system. Conflict is handled between man and wife without not necessarily arriving at violence. Most of the time we're in states of nonviolent conflict with other neighbors on the planet, including other states. But it always has the capacity to escalate into violence. That's when somebody perceives that a vital concern or a real interest of theirs may be destroyed unless they pursue by ever more vigorous means their competition.
Now, the concept of conflict resolution has been around for some time, even though it has only recently evolved as a discipline. Mr. Barringer, can you give me some background on this?
Well, particularly since World War I, there's been an ever-increasing desire to figure out how to arrive at peaceful solutions to conflicts. Woodrow Wilson was very interested in the League of Nations, as we all know. That didn't get that far. But studies have increased on the subject of the causes of violence, the causes of conflict. There have been ever-increasing attempts to set up mechanisms to control it, the United Nations being another one. We go back a long way to the labor field, where there used to be a great deal of violence. Bargaining has been introduced and has been very successful in cutting down on violence. And coming up briefly to our present time, we have environmental mediation, family mediation, all types of mediation, which are attempts to develop skills to deter violence and come to solutions of conflicts without such.
Well then, with all of the different kinds of mediation, why do we need conflict resolution? Why do we need to study it?
In the first place, there is higher art in this, as it has evolved lately. That's like saying, why does one study how to conduct wars? We have had for a long time service academies and military colleges to teach people how to fight better. The question is whether we should have parallel institutions that could help people learn how to resolve their differences without having to go to violence, how to live together rather than to die together. And it makes absolute sense once the social invention, the disciplines of conciliation, mediation, arbitration, facilitated problem-solving, and other conflict-resolving devices had begun to appear on the scene.
Is the theory of conflict resolution, is it interdisciplinary in some way?
Various disciplines have been working on on the subject of conflict. We intend here to use a multidisciplinary approach to establish what we consider to be a generic form of conflict resolution, in that the behavioral sciences will have heavy input in showing something about human behavior, theories of human behavior. The generic aspect will be illustrated in that conflict, and the resolution thereof, we believe, cuts across various social levels so that you have indeed a generic approach to conflict resolution.
Okay, now when you say multidisciplinary, what do you mean? What other fields will be involved,
well,
more or less?
Particularly in our master's program, we will have input from the communications department here at the university, from sociology, anthropology, philosophy. In our lectures, we are also drawing heavily on the legal field. So, in effect, we're covering most fields. We could include all fields if we were able to get the time, the professorial input to contribute to our course.
There are many levels of conflict, and you've mentioned them. There's conflict at the domestic level, conflict on the national level, and conflict at the international level. How can this one discipline alleviate violence that so often accompanies conflict at so many levels?
Actually, it's probably only when they operate at all levels that it can work. It is foolish to think that you can say the national state, the government, can engage in gangsterism or shooting or murder and ask the man on the street not to. So this really is a seamless web, and I would have to insist that ultimately, to bring turn the corner on the violence mechanisms that we've lived with until now, it's going to happen, have to happen at all levels and simultaneously. Now, nobody has a panacea, but insofar as these devices are applicable, they become very rapidly used. Let me give you one case. Only 6 years ago, a notion appeared which is called divorce mediation. Three people in three different parts of the country discovered it simultaneously. And everybody at once said, this makes a lot of sense. We've been handling the problems of divorce by a legal system which is not at all set up for it. And how much better to have people sit down and be able to work out their agreements in a facilitated way without having everybody to go away feeling highly exploited losers. This is probably going to make a whole great difference in the field of family law, family conflict management, divorce conflict management, and that is just happening with explosive rapidity, so that all across the country, whole states are changing their laws to accommodate a social invention only 6 years old. Okay, you don't have to kill each other to get a divorce. You don't have to go to the poorhouse to get a divorce or enrich the lawyers to get a divorce. And everybody, including the lawyers, is made very much happier by this. Now, this sort of thing, I use the simplest kind of example, but this sort of thing happens in other fields, like where do you site a dam, which is a ecological questions, or where do you put a power plant? Can we resolve these by going to the court and hassling it out? It's practically brought our civilization to a standstill from time to time. When the possibilities of being able to bring all of the interested people together into a common framework of discourse, another social invention then is in the ecological conflict management field. That also is spreading, so that this is a general problem-solving device that works at in many issues at many levels and spreads from its points of departure to other fields as it goes.
George Mason's Center for Conflict Resolution was established in March of 1981. How did the center come about, Mr. Barringer?
The center came about by discussions which were held between President George Johnson and Vice President for Academic Affairs David Powers, who asked Dr. Wedge and me whether it would be possible to set up some sort of curriculum at George Mason University. This was directly in line with George Mason's desire to be known for its public affairs image and interest in international affairs, and we agreed to come aboard as consultants in early 1979 to study the possibility of creating a Master of Science in Conflict Management. We arranged for writing the proposal for the Richmond Board of Higher Education to approve. This approval was obtained. Meanwhile, we set up several forums lecture series and one graduate course in preparation for the final Master of Science degree, which would start in fall 1982.
You know, I'd like to comment here that short as this history is, already a number of forces in the state of Virginia have called upon us. We have police officers from Fairfax County in our courses. We have been consulted by the public school systems about actually dangerous race conflicts in the schools. We have been called upon by the ombudsman for the prison system of the state of Virginia, so that we believe that we have found a very good base from which to which people are naturally attracted to help to get some collaboration, at least, in dealing with current, everyday, and really vital problems for the state of Virginia.
How many centers are there in the United States, or in the nation for that matter?
Well, there are probably about 84 that I can count dispute resolution centers of significant status. We're not providing a dispute resolution service, though. We're going to try to provide the first training of this kind in the history of the world. We intend, by 1984, to have turned out the first professionally developed peacemakers, which I sometimes unashamedly call our product, which have ever happened. That is, the people who were rigorously trained to do just exactly that function.
One last question. This semester, the center and the GMU Division of Continuing Education are offering a free pro-seminar course on conflict and conflict resolution that's being held on Tuesday nights. The series, by the way, started on February 2nd, and I understand you had a very good turnout. Dr. Wedge, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that was a roundup of the field by Professor James Lowey from the University of Missouri in St. Louis, who came here just for this purpose, because I must say that other people in the country are excited about the development of this program. And about 80 people came from, surprisingly, from senatorial offices, from governmental offices, and from the local citizenry. And we had a most lively discussion about the field generally. The people who stick through this, and I think a lot of people are being excited by it, are going to really have a pretty good survey of this really new development in the way America conducts its business.
Thank you, gentlemen. We've run out of time. I'd like to mention to the listening audience that the third in the pro-seminar series on conflict and conflict resolution will be held at George Mason on Tuesday, February 16th, with Ethan T. Smith of the U.S. Geological Survey, who will speak on environmental mediation. That takes place in the GMU Lecture Hall 2 from 7 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassane for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.